This podcast is made possible by our supporters over on Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get your own RSS feed with ad-free shows and extra episodes every month, then head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. Programs, and we're back for another episode of the Nerd Cave Retro Show. My name is Jason Robbins.
And my name is Derek Diamond.
And how was your weekend?
It was busy, but good. This is actually the second of our podcasting doubleheader today. We did our commentary track this morning with Wally. So if you're a patron, you currently have access to that. Mm-hmm. But it was busy, but good. We had the screening for the feature on Saturday, along with six other shorts that we showcased, and turnout was great. We had, I think, between 65 and 70 people show
bad.
Up, and wow. And 47 were paid attendance, so not too bad.
Awesome.
But all in all, it went really well. Movies were great. Got to socialize with some people, meet new people, get reacquainted with, you know, some of the local filmmakers I haven't seen in a while. And then yesterday I did absolutely nothing, which was great.
In the chat room just says, finally beat Castlevania today. Dracula was his white elephant. Congratulations,
nice.
Man.
Yeah, congrats, sir.
Dude,
that's awesome.
I know how tough that fight is because I did a Castlevania speedrun competition a few years ago. And I can beat Dracula, but I didn't finish in the time allotted for the speedrun competition. I only got as far as Dracula. You have to have a lot of patience with that fight, just the way it is. So that's commendable. That's very commendable.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
This weekend,
how was your birthday?
It was good. I got a copy of Breath of the Wild from a anonymous donor.
A carrier pigeon, yeah. Just so happened to drop a package off at your at your doorstep.
Thank you so much for that. I was gonna buy it this weekend, but I had more car trouble on Friday. Had to have my alternator replaced. Well, that was $1,000 to slap down on the counter, and I'm just like, I'm just gonna be broke forever. Like, just that's just my lot in life. I'm just constantly gonna have to slap $1,000 every 2 to 3 months on my car.
And there's some jackals that work in that business too. So,
yep.
Which I'm sure you know how that is. But what was funny was I was gonna get you The Last Ronin for your birthday, and then your thing with the car happened, and I thought to myself, actually, I know of something better.
That made my day, man. Thank you so much.
No, anytime. And plus, I need somebody to talk about the game with.
Yeah.
So, how are you enjoying it so far?
I'm loving it so far. I mean, I'm only about 2 hours into it at this point. I didn't get a chance to play it today, but I'm gonna play some tonight after all my podcasts are over with. But I just finished up the second shrine at the beginning of the game, and that's where I stopped. So just finished that second shrine. Be going for the third one here tonight, and I think that's the whole first area, right?
Yeah, there's I can't remember if there's four shrines in that area.
I think it's,
but
there's three.
Go ahead.
To get your hand back to power, so mm-hmm. you can open up the door to see Zelda or something like that, as what the mission is.
It doesn't quite go that way.
Okay. Well, I won't.
I won't spoil it for you. But what do you think of the beginning? Because it has a very elaborate mm-hmm. intro to it.
Yeah, it's very cinematic. A lot of story right up front, and I enjoyed it. I was sucked into it immediately. I dig who the bad guy is this time around, and I'm really looking forward to diving into this game, because I love Breath of the Wild so much that this is just basically picking up right where you left off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been loving it so far, and I'm I've only done one dungeon because for the most part, I've just been exploring, trying to find the shrine so I can build my health back up before I really go into anything. Because that first dungeon I went into was not easy. And the boss fight was fun. But man, if you don't have a decent amount of hearts, you're not going to last very long.
Yeah. Well, that's good to know. So I'll be going for all the shrines first before going into dungeons.
There's some cool story cutscenes that you'll dive into that I want to talk about it so bad, but it's so good.
It's just
you'll
so cool because, you know, Breath of the Wild was the first game I bought when I got the Switch in early 2017. First game I played, put so many hours into it, and here it is 6 years later, and it just feels like you haven't even left. You know, you're just right there in it again.
Yep. And it's I'm curious for you to see the subtle differences, like once you get into Hyrule, because a lot of the layouts, it's very similar to Breath of the Wild, but there are some noticeable differences because of what happens with, you know, some of the land coming up into the sky.
Yeah.
So it's cool.
I did do some streaming on Saturday. I did some Ninja Gaiden streaming. Thank you to everybody that came and hang out with me for the stream. That was a lot of fun. And honestly, my thumb is still sore from playing Ninja Gaiden. The game is so ridiculous.
Yeah, I hated that I missed it, but it looked like you had a good turnout.
You know what's stupid? When I'm not streaming that game, I can play all the way through and beat it without dying on the final boss. There's three final bosses with Jackio, I forgot who the first boss is, but he's really easy as long as you have the spin slash. Then you got to fight Jackio. Then you got to fight the demon. And when I'm playing by myself, I can get through all three, just barely. But I can get through all three. When I'm streaming, I die on every single one. And then you got to go all the way back to 6-1 or 5-1, whatever it is, and go through the whole end again to get back. And I'm just like, yeah, that in the chat room, those damn shrimp. You could go watch my stream and just see how ridiculous those shrimp are that are shooting out of the demon's head. There's no rhyme or reason to them. They're just everywhere.
Maybe it's audience pressure.
I don't know. Maybe
it's like I can do this podcast no problem. I can do my show no problem. But when we were doing the Q&As at the screening last Saturday, I got just completely tongue tied. I'm like, wait, what did I do? Oh, yeah, this is who I am, and this is what I did.
Also, before we go into the news, we talked a little bit about it this morning when we were doing our commentary track. Before we recorded, I think I watched FUBAR. This weekend, the new Arnold Schwarzenegger, the show on Netflix, and I highly recommend it to anybody that likes Arnold and hasn't seen it. If you like the movie True Lies, just go watch FUBAR. And we talked about it. There is something absolutely special about old Arnold, and I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it, but I like old Arnold better and better the more I see him. There's just something about him as an old man.
Had he ever started a TV show or any type of show before FUBAR?
Other than The Apprentice? Was it The Apprentice that he took over for a little while? But I don't think he's been in a scripted television.
Yeah,
show.
I was about to say it's like a narrative show. He's just been a movie guy.
Yeah. He's never been in a TV show. But it's like an 8-hour movie. And the characters are awesome. Tom Arnold shows up at one point as one of the best characters he's ever been. Like, I just want to know more about that guy. And I just hope the way they ended, it ended on a huge cliffhanger. So I'm really hoping that it's successful so we get a second season. And Chuck in the chat room says, it was funny seeing my suffering on Saturday trying to get through the end of Ninja Gaiden. Thanks for enjoying my suffering.
Good or bad, we have to entertain the masses.
And Thad in the chat room says there was a True Lies SNES game, and I forgot all about that. Let me look this up.
There's a True Lies game?
And make sure, because if there is, that is going to be my next review.
Okay.
Yeah, there is a True Lies game
Yeah,
for the
Tyler
Game Boy,
says he'll go to bat for it all day.
Game Boy, Game Gear, Genesis, and Super Nintendo came out in 1995. It's going to be my next review.
Well, there we go.
Awesome. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Oh, and Joey says he forgot to send the first segment. Yes, absolutely. We can start your segment next week. I told you that, you know, you had a lot to do. You just had your surgery. Take your time. It's okay. You can just get it to
us.
It'll
make the anticipation even greater if we have to wait a little bit longer.
Yeah, one more week ain't going to kill everybody. So just get it to me this week, and we'll put it in the next episode. But thank you for doing that, Joey. And like I said, you know, no problem. Thank you guys for watching on Saturday for my thing. That was fun. And go watch FUBAR. It's awesome. But anything else?
Yeah, I'm
going to
start. I'm going to start it this week.
Yes, please let me know when you do.
Yeah, at the latest, I'll start it by like Wednesday.
All right. Well, let me know when you do, because there's some twists and turns along the way that I want to know when you get to them. But yeah, if you're ready, we can go into the news for this week.
Yeah, let's do it.
Tonight's stories were submitted to us by I Am the Rampage and Armez Jackson. Actually, I think that was Rampage was from the week before. But Armez Jackson sent us a couple of news stories. But if you have a story you'd like us to cover, send them to nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. This first story is from our favorite site, NintendoLife.com. Metal Gear Solid Master Collection Volume 1 announced for the latest platforms. During PlayStation's Digital Showcase, Konami announced the return of the Metal Gear Solid series. After ongoing rumors, the Japanese company confirmed the remake of the third game. While the platforms for this title have already been revealed, it's coming to PlayStation, Xbox, and PC. Konami also announced the Metal Gear Solid Master Collection arriving in autumn 2023. It will feature HD remasters of the first, second, and third games, with more games and volumes seemingly on the way. Let's see, as highlighted by Push Square, MGS 2 and 3 are the same PS3 remasters taken from the HD collection released back in 2011, which, honestly, that's okay. I mean, if they're already remastered, why remaster them again? And it does not say what the, it doesn't say what the price is going to be, but I imagine if this is multiple games, this is probably going to be at least a $70 collection.
Yeah, I think so too. And this is cool. Like, I've never played a Metal Gear Solid game, but I know it has its hardcore fan base. And why not? Mm-hmm. In an age of re-releases and remasters, why not re-release Metal Gear Solid?
Yeah.
No issue with it at all.
And my brother got me a Metal Gear game for the PS2. This past Christmas that I haven't gotten into yet, and I can't remember which one it is. I think it's just Metal Gear Solid for the PS2, and I've been wanting to get to it. I just haven't cranked it up yet, and I'm probably gonna do that this summer sometime, because I've never really played any Metal Gear games other than the Nintendo ones, so it would be really fun to kind of experience these for the first time.
I'm assuming this will be out on PS4.
I'm assuming. I mean, there aren't enough PS5s out in the world. They're still making stuff for PS4, so why not?
Yeah, I would assume that it is. Like, maybe I'll pick it up for that, but if it comes out for the Switch, then I'll be more than likely to get it, because that's just what I play more.
Yeah.
But this is cool, though.
Because I was actually thinking, I don't think I'm going to pick up a PS5. I mean, we're already so far into this cycle. I might just wait for the PS6 to come out before I pick one up. Because I'm still perfectly happy with my PS4, honestly. I'm still going back and playing stuff I missed on the PS4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same. Let's see. Our next story comes to us from TheVerge.com. Sony's new Q handheld is official. 8-inch screen and will stream PS5 games. And will come later this year to remote play games from your PlayStation 5 over Wi-Fi. Sony has officially confirmed it's working on a PlayStation handheld to make it easier to play your PS5 games. It was announced during Wednesday's PlayStation Showcase and is called Project Q. We will launch a dedicated device that enables you to stream any game from your PS5 console using remote play over Wi-Fi. PlayStation boss Jim Ryan said during the PlayStation Showcase. Internally known as Project Q, it has an 8-inch HD screen and all of the buttons and features of the DualSense wireless controller. More specifically, it'll have an LCD screen running games at up to 1080p and 60 frames per second over Wi-Fi, and will feature both the adaptive triggers and haptic feedback of the DualSense. It basically looks like someone cut a PlayStation 5 controller in half and stuck it on either side of a screen.
You know, I'll be totally honest. When I saw this the other day, Wally had actually tagged me in this and was like, is Jason going to buy a PS console finally? Or a big boy console? I'm like, if this was basically just a PS5 in handheld form and I had to get stuff, you know, if this was just a handheld PS5 console, I would get it because I like playing handheld. But you know, I'm thinking about like, man, if I had to do everything, if you had to download the games to your hard drive, like there would be no room on this thing to do anything. It would have to be completely over Wi-Fi to play stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But PlayStation doesn't have they don't have the infrastructure yet that I trust for that kind of thing.
See, it's funny you say that, because when I was reading this earlier, I'm like, oh, there's going to be a handheld version of the PS5. And then I read it a little more and I'm like, oh, never mind.
Yeah, you have to have a PS5 in order to use this thing.
Yeah.
Which is okay. If I already owned a PS5, I would probably jump on this to be able to use it. But I don't want to go get a PS5 and then turn around and have to get this too. I mean, that's like, I think this thing's right going to be right around $100.
Yeah. I still think it's cool. If I had a PS5, I would definitely get it, just because I prefer to play games in handheld. But I don't have a PS5, so not going to be getting it. It is kind of cool, though.
But this next story is, let me pull it up here. We're back to Nintendo Life. There is a rumor that Aubrey Plaza is supposedly top choice for Sonic the Hedgehog 3's villain. We're still a little ways away from the December 2024 theatrical release of Sonic the Hedgehog 3, but it looks like the preparations have begun to assemble for the film's cast. According to a report by Giant Freaking Robot, Parks and Recreation star Aubrey Plaza is supposedly the filmmaker's top choice to play the third film's villain, replacing Jim Carrey's Dr. Robotnik after the actor announced his retirement last year. To be clear, this report comes from Giant Freaking Robot's trusted and proven sources and should by no means be taken as some kind of official confirmation. So get those pinches of salt at the ready. What are you thinking? I know you got some thoughts on this.
So first, the Jim Carrey retirement thing. He kind of has, but also he kind of hasn't. He just said he's not going to be actively looking for roles. That doesn't mean he's going to just quit acting. And I imagine that they'll be able to talk him into coming back for a third movie. Mm-hmm. And honestly, if they got to back up the Brinks truck to do it, I think you got to do it, because I don't know of any other Sonic villain that can carry a lead villain role like Robotnik. Specifically Jim Carrey's incarnation. He's been arguably the best part of movie one and movie two. If they want to cast Aubrey Plaza as Rouge the Bat in a voiceover role, I actually think she would be a pretty good choice for that. I just don't know. I don't know what they can do.
Yeah.
I have an idea of what they could do, but it wouldn't be having Rouge the Bat or another. I can't think of any other female villains from the Sonic universe.
What
I think they could do, if they don't bring Jim Carrey back, they're obviously bringing Shadow in, so they're going to do that whole storyline. Well, Shadow was created by Robotnik's grandfather 50 years before the events of Sonic the Hedgehog. I would love it. One, I think they will have Gerald Robotnik in the movie. And I think Christopher Lloyd should play him.
Yeah.
If they want to have him like somehow still be alive, because in the video games he's dead. But if they want to have him still be alive, I think that'd be a great choice.
What if Aubrey Plaza? What if she voices Shadow
I don't know.
They would have to. I mean, they could heavily modulate her voice.
Yeah. I don't know. My guess is if she's going to be in the movie, she's going to voice Rouge.
Yeah.
Because she's a pretty integral part of the Sonic Adventure 2 story, which was also the debut of Shadow. So that's. It's probably going to be a combination of a Sonic Adventure 2 adaptation and a Shadow the Hedgehog solo game adaptation.
Honestly, I know how they could get Jim Carrey back. They don't even need to pay him. This is how they get him to come back for the movie. He's been frantically trying to sell his mansion because of all this weird zoning stuff that's going on in California. I don't know much about it. I know just like all these celebrities are like trying frantically to like sell their homes because they won't be able to afford the taxes or something like that. Just have Sega just go buy his house. Be like, hey, come play Dr. Robotnik one more time. We'll buy your house out from under you. You don't even have to worry about it anymore. We'll just buy the house and you're done with it.
I think that's a fair trade.
I mean, why not? I mean, if you can't find a buyer, just have Sega come in and be like, hey, we'll buy it from you and just come be in the movie.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But it's tough to say because it's just a rumor, so it's tough to say if this is true or not.
Joey says, what if she plays Mrs. Robotnik?
There's never been a Mrs. Robotnik. That'd be interesting. That would be very interesting. Also, I want Keanu Reeves to voice Shadow
in
the Sonic movie. I think he would be perfect. Someone actually dubbed dialogue from John Wick that matches some stuff that Shadow said in some of the games, and it's perfect.
That's cool.
I want that to happen. And since I've said it, it probably won't. But our last story comes to us from Kotaku.com. Nintendo asks Valve to kick GameCube and Wii emulator off Steam, says it's protecting its creativity and work. You don't say. Valve removed the Steam listing for Dolphin.
And you know what this reminds me of? It reminded the other day when Nintendo put out that tweet or something like that. It was like, tag us with a gamer who loves to stream Nintendo games.
Yeah.
And we're like, we see you, Nintendo. We know what you're doing.
Like, why don't you just ask us to throw our friends under the bus? It ain't happening, mm-hmm. Nintendo. Let's see. With Valve removed the Steam listing for Dolphin, a popular emulator for the GameCube and Wii, after it received a cease and desist from Nintendo, developers behind the project claim. The company behind Mario and Zelda accuses the emulator of illegally circumventing its protections and says it's merely protecting the hard work and creativity of video game engineers and developers. Okay, then put everything out online or on the Switch so we can play it.
This makes me so angry.
A listing for Dolphin on Valve's digital storefront first appeared back in March. We are pleased to announce our great experiment. Dolphin is coming to Steam, the creators wrote at the time. While the open source project has been available online for years, interest in retro emulators has increased since the release of the Steam Deck, and an official store page would make the tool even easier to access.
Protecting the hard work and creativity of video game engineers and developers by what? By not allowing it to be put on anything other than its original hardware so people can actually play it these days easily? What is wrong with you, Nintendo?
We've been saying it for years. Just release it to the masses and people will, if you release it, they will buy.
I'm literally willing to throw down money for games that I've already paid for, you know, three times over just so I can have a more convenient way to play them. If you gave me Star Tropics on the Switch, a remastered Star Tropics and charged me $60 for it, I'd pay for it. Because I'm such a fanboy, but let me calm down. this irks me to no end that Nintendo just constantly steps on their own tail all the time.
We haven't had a story like this in a few weeks, so I don't want to say I'm happy that this came up because it makes for good conversation, but at the same time, it's just incredibly dumb on their part.
It's like they just can't seem to get out of their own way. Like, why are they like this? Like, why is no one at Nintendo of America going to Japan on a daily basis and going, look, guys, there's this thing called the internet, okay? And here's what goes on the internet. And just explain to them how the world works now. And just, all right.
That being said, if anyone from Nintendo is listening, I am available if you're interested in making a Zelda movie.
Yeah. I mean, they literally just made like one of the highest grossing, animated movies of all time, but yet they still just can't figure out the internet or streaming or emulation or any of the things that are trying to keep your legacy alive, especially of all of your old stuff, because you're not doing it. When was the last time we got new games for the Nintendo on the Switch? I can't remember the last time we got an update for the Nintendo, the NES, Switch Online, or the Super Nintendo. When was the last time?
We got Side Pocket.
Yeah, we got Side Pocket
for the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, we've all been clamoring for Side Pocket for years.
I remember saying that when that was released. I'm like, man, forget Link to the Past, Super Mario World, get out of here. Side Pocket is where that's what the masses want. So just keep. I'm trying so hard not to use profanity, but just keep
I mean,
up that
do,
mentality.
It's
Nintendo.
Okay. I'll just slap the explicit tag on it.
It's all good.
I mean, it makes my head hurt. Nintendo makes my head hurt. Like, how are they so good at making such good product, but yet when it comes to just common sense bullshit, they're just, it's like they just cut off their own face all the time. Like, they don't have a nose because they keep cutting it off to spite their face all the time. And I just don't get it.
They've cut off their nose, both ears. 9 fingers and 7 toes.
I mean, just that one line that you read right there that says, protecting the hard work and creativity of video game engineers and developers. How are you doing that, Nintendo? You can't go out and buy these games now. I mean, you can, but they're in the used market. You're not giving them to us. You're not emulating them for us. The only way we can do this is to go out and buy a freaking GameCube or a Wii that probably doesn't work anymore because you're getting it from a pawn shop or a thrift store, and then we got to go look for these games or buy them on eBay, and they're not getting the money for that. The engineers and the programmers, they're not making money off of stuff that's being sold on eBay. It's not like I can go into GameStop and buy a brand new copy of Pikmin, you know? Like, can you? No. So what are you protecting? Go eat a turd, Nintendo.
I should have made popcorn.
I mean, am I wrong?
Everybody, no, I don't disagree with anything that you're saying.
Am I wrong?
No, you're right. No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
I'm just... it.
the chat's loving this, by the way.
I mean, I really thought that I was going to make it through this article without yelling, but apparently I can't.
That's okay.
And that's the thing. Like, it's because I love Nintendo so much. I love their entire legacy. But they shit on their legacy all the time, and it drives me nuts. I just hate it.
I think the biggest thing is that there's just such a simple solution.
Yeah.
But they don't do it, is the thing. All you have to do is just put out most of your content. If you want to stagger some of it, that's fine. But be consistent about it. Don't put out Side Pocket for the Super Nintendo, and that's the only thing we get for 3 years.
Yeah. If you want to
stop... Same thing with NES, any of it.
If you want to stop emulation, Nintendo, give us what we want. Have a team of, 10 people or 15 people programmers. You got the money for it, and just have them all day long just making these old games... ready for to be emulated. Excuse me, I'm burping now because I'm so mad. Ready to be emulated on the Switch or whatever console's coming up next. Just
it would, how many people would it take? How many, how big of a team would it need to be to get these games ready to where you could give us, you know, 5 games a month, you know, a Nintendo game, a Super Nintendo game, you know, Game Boy Advance on these things you already given us. Just give it to us, please. No, I'm not AVGN.
I was about to comment on that.
Well, that's my rant for the night.
I think we should move on to our next topic.
Yeah, but that's going to do it for the news tonight. No video game history on this.
Yeah, May's a terrible month for game history.
Yeah, it's dry in May. There's not much comes out. It's beginning of summer, so there's not much news video game history out there. But before we do that, Derek, would you like to do our Patreon shout-outs?
Absolutely. We want to shout out our awesome patrons over at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. We want to shout out our newest patron, Mr. Travis Martin,
woo!
Raven, Danny House, Justin Nispel, John West, Daniel Salmon, Mr. B-Rez Coffee himself, Mike Eveland, who actually came out to the film screening this past Saturday.
Saw
so
that.
It was cool to, yeah, he actually won our VIP ticket sweepstakes winner.
Awesome. Congratulations.
So, yeah. He got a free poster and a front row seat.
Sweet.
Tyler Watson, AxeBlade07, Armez Jackson, Carlos Longoria, a.k.a. Rampage! Staff Sergeant Sketch, Gus and Penny, Matthew Salmon, Joey Image, and Mama Diamond herself, Donna Diamond.
Mama
Thank
Diamond.
You all so much for your continued contributions and keeping the lights on for us here at the show. For as little as $1 a month, that's less than a cup of gas station coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Normally I'd say Starbucks, but these days it's gas station coffee
yeah.
too. You get early access to our fun commentary tracks. Like after months of talking about it, we finally recorded the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles animated series track earlier today. So when you download it, like you'll see some steam coming off your phone or your computer. That's how hot off the presses this commentary track
mm-hmm.
is. And for June, I believe we're going to be doing Batman 89.
Yes, that one's going to be fun. I can't wait for that.
I know. I've been wanting to watch that movie again for a while. And plus with Michael Keaton coming back as Batman in the Flash movie, I think it's good timing. So we'll be doing that here in a few weeks. But if you want to be a part of our awesome Patreon community, just head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And for new patrons, excuse me, send us your social media info, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, so we can give you a proper shout out.
Hey, Derek, have you heard the news?
What news?
We officially have our very own line of coffee at brezcoffeeco.com.
That's right. Nerd Cave Retro now has its very own medium roast coffee.
If you want to try it yourself, or even some of the other awesome flavors like Wizard's Potion, which is a butterscotch, caramel, and hazelnut flavored roast.
Or the Dragon's Breath Roast, which is a cinnamon dolce flavored roast.
They have tons of different flavors, and you can also just get a regular Colombian roast and add any flavor to it that you want. They even keep their seasonal roasts all year round.
If you need that boost to get you through those all-night gaming sessions, then head over to brezcoffeeco.com and use the promo code NCR for 10% off your order.
And tonight, I'm going to be talking about... X-Men Mutant Apocalypse is an action game developed and published by Capcom for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System in 1994. It is based on the X-Men comic book franchise from Marvel Comics, and it was the second game Capcom released based on the franchise, the other being a fighting game called X-Men Children of the Atom, also released in 1994. Did you ever play that one, the Children of the Atom?
I did not. Much like Mutant Apocalypse, I remember it, but I never played it.
Yeah, I don't think I ever played it either. I might have to do that soon. I don't know if I'll be able to review it because it's just a straight-up fighting game, but it sounds pretty interesting to do it. And Capcom always, you know, brings the heat with the good games. This game, you take control of 5 X-Men who each have their own objectives and different moves and capabilities activated by certain control combinations. The player has a limited number of lives that count for all 5 X-Men, and not one individually. You get to play as Beast, Cyclops, Gambit, Psylocke, and Wolverine. And they each have their own special stages that they go through. And some of my notes here, the graphics on this game are absolutely top-notch. I mean, it's a Capcom game. You're not going to get any better graphically than a Capcom game. The characters look great. The, you know, their animations are great. But Psylocke, she looks a bit misproportioned. It's almost hilarious. Like, her body is so huge and her head is so tiny. Like, I just, like, why does she look so strange? Like, why did they... Because when she's on screen with the other characters, like, you're fighting, just the randos that you're fighting, she's, like, easily a foot taller than all... Like, she's bigger than every character on the screen. Like, why? Why was she made to be so huge like that?
I noticed that when I was watching some gameplay of it earlier. I'm like, what did they do? What did they do to her?
I mean, honestly, she was probably my favorite character to play because she was just straight up, like... some of the best move sets and easiest to use, because the way the controls are in this game, I don't understand why they did the controls the way they did. They treated the controller as if it was just a straight up NES controller, because you only get to use two buttons, A and B.
There's a few more on the Super Nintendo controller.
Well, you've got six buttons on the Super Nintendo. Why did you abandon four other buttons when you have all this? You know, you have, I mean, you've got all these mutants with all their great, you know, mutant abilities, and I have to do button combinations to do the abilities? Like, what, why is this being treated like, you know, like a Street Fighter or something? Like, why can't I just, you know, if I'm playing, you know, if I'm playing Cyclops, why can't I just, like, hit the X button or Y button to, like, use his eye blast? Like, why do I have to do like 80 different button combinations to do his mutant ability? Like, that's just weird to me.
This would have been clever had they used the X button for like your most powerful attack for the X-Men.
For real. I mean, it's right there at the very top, the X button. Thank you, Derek. I didn't even think about that, Derek. You're a genius. The X button is your X ability. Why was it?
It would have been so easy to remember.
Yeah. I mean, it's right there in front of you guys. Come on.
So you came up with a great idea and I ain't even played this game.
And I put on here that the music is decent. I mean, it's you know, it's good. It's not terrible by any means, but it's kind of forgettable. Like, there's no kind of main theme that gets stuck in your head, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of what I gather too. Like, I didn't dislike the music.
Yeah, I didn't either.
But there aren't any tracks that, like, most video games have at least a music track that's going to stick with you. Mm-hmm. This does not.
Yeah, it's just sort of...
It's there.
Yeah, it's just there. It's serviceable. It's not terrible by any means, but it's not memorable at all. And the gameplay is kind of slow. The game is not fast-paced at all. And the controls, like I already talked about the controls, how they're kind of minimal, relegated to two buttons. And it feels a little clunky, especially, you know, when you're playing, like, Gambit. And it's just, why does each character... Like, I can understand if you're playing Beast, because he's huge. You know, he should be kind of slow. And, you know, like you're playing a bear. Like, you know, or a gorilla, like it should feel kind of slow and heavy. Like, he should feel like he weighs, you know, 500 pounds, not Psylocke. Why is she a huge beast and feels like you're playing a tank when you're fighting with her? I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, Capcom, like, you think of great games when you think of Capcom, but I mean, they're not perfect.
Yeah,
like there are little flaws in their games, and this is one of them.
Yeah, it just felt so slow, and like you're playing through molasses. Like, the game is on molasses setting. You know, it's not fast paced by any stretch of the imagination. Like, this is not you know, this is not Mega Man or, you know, Ninja Gaiden speed. This is like slow plotting, you know, side scroller platformer, but there, it's so, each character feels like they weigh like 500 pounds. Like it's the physics of the game are just not, I guess each character should have felt different in my book. Like Gambit, Gambit should have felt light and, you know, acrobatic, and, you know, Beast should have felt like just a big brawler. And, you know, Psylocke should have been, you know, like a ninja just flying around all over the place, grabbing onto things. But they all just felt so slow and plodding. And it was just kind of disappointing because there's nothing wrong with the game, honestly. I mean, it's absolutely 100% playable, but it's just not what you want from it.
And you bring up a good point, too, because this game came out in 94.
Mm-hmm.
A game that's, it's a different type of game, but I think it's a good analogy. Super Mario Kart came out in 92. All the characters feel different. Like when you're playing as Bowser, you feel like he's barely moving because of how heavy he is. Whereas if you're playing as Toad, you feel really light. And that, so we were at the point that every character should feel different based on like their physical build.
Well, I mean,
and in this case, their mutant abilities.
You know, they did it back in Super Mario Brothers 2. On the NES, I mean, each character had their each unique ability, and they each character felt completely different to play. You know, Mario was your all-around, you know, like kind of a jack of all trades. Luigi could do these huge super jumps. The princess could float, and Toad was like, you know, he was like a little freaking racer around everywhere. He's so fast. So each character kind of felt different and made playing the game different, and that's what I wanted from this. Like I wanted each character to kind of feel like their character. Like, you know, I wanted Cyclops to be able, I wanted to be able to go into the stage and be able to blow stuff up with the, you know, with his heat vision or his laser blast or whatever. And like, it's not that way at all. It's like they all, it's like a brawler, and the mutant abilities are like a second thought. Like they weren't really factored into the gameplay at all.
Which is strange because like that's what the X-Men are known for.
Yeah, because you play the X-Men
abilities.
You play the X-Men arcade game, you know, the one with you could play up to what, like 8 players at once. Like each character just felt like that character. And that's what I expected from this, but this just did not. It felt like I was playing RoboCop again. You know, like it's a great game, but it's not fast paced or, you know, like he's RoboCop. He's like a, you know, a 1-ton piece of machinery. And that's what these characters felt like, too. They felt like a 1-ton piece of machinery moving through the game.
Yeah, which is a shame because like this, when I found out you were going to be reviewing this, you know, this was one where I'm like, OK, maybe I'll check it out at some point. But I don't know, it doesn't sound like a bad game. And from what I watched of it, it doesn't seem like a bad game, but it seems like it could be so much better.
Yeah, it just, it felt like, what was I, oh, remember when I was talking about the Avengers a couple of weeks ago for the Nintendo, even though that's a really hard game, it still felt like the people that made the game really loved the source material, and they wanted to make the best game they could possibly make with those characters, and you felt that in the game, even though the game is ridiculously hard. But when it came to this game, it felt like it was almost like they thought they were making a different game than what they were making. You know, it just felt like they were making another RoboCop game or another, you know, slow side scroller, instead of like maybe a fast-paced game with, you know, mutants and mutant powers. Like it just felt like the mutant powers were like they were added in as an afterthought.
It's why it's always better to have developers that have a passion for the source material, because they're going to think, okay, this is the kind of game that I would want to play. Whereas this sounds like it was just somebody was like, oh, we're cool, we're going to make an X-Men game.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, oh, we got a couple months to make it. Let's make it look pretty, and we'll sell a bunch of copies. And they didn't really care too much about, you know, how the game played or anything. But that's the thing. Like, it's a Capcom game, so there's absolutely nothing wrong with the game. If I would have played this back then, I probably would have liked it a lot more than I do now, because I'm expecting, you know, a fast-paced side-scroller, you know, platforming game, and it is that, but man, it's like playing molasses. Like I said, it's just so slow, and I just wish that it was more exciting. Like that's the thing. It's not exciting, but it's serviceable, and it's not a bad game. It's just kind of middle of the road.
Yeah, which is not bad, but it's still also kind of disappointing, because you think of a game with, excuse me, with the X-Men title attached to it, mm-hmm. you think it's going to be really fun.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this. Has there been like a really definitive X-Men game that's been made?
Well, I know that there was a really good Wolverine game made a couple of years ago that was off of the Wolverine movie. What was it, Wolverine 3? Or what movie was it? That it was a game tie-in, that the game was way better than the movie.
It might have been X-Men Origins.
I think that was it. It was for the 360. Whatever the Wolverine game was for the 360. Let's see. Any X-Men game. I don't remember playing any X-Men games within the last 20 years or so.
I wish there would be a definitive X-Men game, because you think, like, with Spider-Man, you think of the PS4, you know, game that came out a few years ago that was incredible. Mm-hmm. Even the movie adaptations from the early 2000s I enjoyed. But I can't think of, like, a must-play X-Men game.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is there's so many X-Men to choose from. Like, how would you make a game like that these days that would utilize at least all the main X-Men, you know, in some sort of way that would make use of all of them?
Yeah, it was X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah.
That came out for the 360. And, like, it didn't have to try hard to be better than the movie.
I mean, I would love to have, like, a Spider-Man type of game with the X-Men where you could pick which X-Men you would want to play. And you wouldn't even have to play through the whole game with a single X-Man. You could do different missions, you know, like around the world with different X-Men and stuff like that. Like, that would be awesome. But I don't think there's anything like that these days. I don't even remember the last X-Men video game came out.
I want to say there was one where Apocalypse was the main villain, and it may have come out in the 2000s.
Probably.
But don't quote me on that. But overall, like, what would you give this game as far as a number score?
I mean, I don't want to give it too low of a score, because it's not a bad game, but I'll just give it like a 6. I'll give it a 6. It's like right around a 6 or 7. It's just very average, and I wouldn't say that it don't play it. I'd say do play it. It's a good game to go back and play. And I would not have been disappointed with this game back then. Like, if I had gotten this as a Christmas present or, you know, bought it, I wouldn't have been disappointed in it at all. But just going back after having played so many games over the last 30, you know, 40 years that I've been playing video games, it's like, this was kind of a step backwards from where I wanted it to be. Like, I wanted more of a faster experience, like more mutant powers. Like, I wanted to feel like I was playing mutants, and I just didn't. It just felt more like a Final Fight game or something, you know? Like, that's what it felt like. It was just like it was a reskinned Final Fight almost.
Yeah, that's. I keep going back to disappointment. Like, I know you're saying the game is not bad, but I just keep thinking of what it could have been.
Yeah, exactly. And Thad wrote, he said, check out X-Men for the Genius. He meant Genesis. I've actually played that X-Men game, and I liked it, but I didn't get very far in it. I actually had it for a Genesis I had a few years ago, but then I turned around and sold the Genesis with that game. So I'll go back and play that again. I do remember liking that version of the game.
have to remember that.
Yeah. But yeah, that's gonna. I think that's all I got to say about X-Men Apocalypse. It's not bad. It's not good. It's just sort of average.
And those, we come across those games every now and then. Like, yep. Not every game's gonna be, you know, a 10 out of 10 or a 9 out of 10.
Yeah. So what's your next review gonna be?
So I'm gonna be reviewing Rystar for the Genesis. It was the third game of the 3-way tie that the patrons voted for. So
awesome.
I'll be doing that, and then who knows what I'll be reviewing after that.
After that, I will be reviewing True Lies, because that just sounds awesome, and I want to play that.
I'm going to have to watch the movie the night before you do the review.
I know. I want to go back and watch that movie again, too.
I haven't watched it in a long time.
I hear that movie referenced all the time, and I'm like, I need to go back and rewatch that. So I'm going to do that within the next 2 weeks. I'm going to rewatch True Lies, and I'm going to play that game.
We should live tweet it.
Ah, yeah, we should. Maybe we could do like a Discord thing where like we all watch it at the same time and
that'd be
like,
cool.
Like a Discord watch along.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
But that's going to bring us to the end of the episode. It was a fun episode tonight. I haven't had a good rant in a while.
I know. It's been. When was your last rant? Fester's Quest, that was like early in the show's run.
I was just about to say, I hope I'm not coming down with the flu. That was that last rant.
If I get a text from you either tonight or tomorrow and you say you've got the flu, I'll be like, what did we learn?
Yeah.
But I doubt that'll happen.
Yeah. But what's going on? Just did your last season finale of the Derek Diamond Experience.
Yep. Did that last night on YouTube. So the video, both the audio and video versions are out now. I talk about the Gulf Coast Film Fest and Social from this past weekend. I give my thoughts on the live action Little Mermaid and answer a few questions that people sent in. But I did announce this on the live feed, but I'll announce it here. So during the summer, I'm going to be, every Monday, I'm going to be re-releasing a feature presentation episode as a way, because like the audio versions aren't available anywhere. And I'm going to kick it off with the Smallville Roundtable that me, you, and Mike Evelyn did.
Awesome.
For next Monday. So
yeah, that was fun.
So you'll still get some content out throughout the summer, but new episodes probably won't start back until the end of August.
Awesome. But for the Open Micers podcast last week, go check us out at Open Micers on Twitter and Instagram. Last week we talked with the WFU podcast with Mark and Simon, and that was it was chaos. So be prepared.
It was an experience.
And tonight for this week, we're going to be talking with comedian Abby Wachuta, who is a New York comic who is a regular at Gotham Comedy Club in The Stand. So we're going to talk to her tonight about being a New York comedian. So that's going
to
be
a fun name to say. Yeah.
Wachuta. Wachuta.
Yes. I did forget linktree.com/ddiamondpodcast to find all the Derek Diamond Experience content.
Same with Open Micers Podcast. It's linktree.com/openmicerspodcast. That'll take you everywhere you need to go. And so, Derek, is that everything? Is that all we got for this week?
I think so. I think we're good.
Let's walk out the door. If you want to email us at nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. We're at nerdcaveretro.com. That is our link tree. That takes you to our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Patreon, and our merch shop. In our merch shop, you can get there by going to ncrmerch.com. And I just dropped a new t-shirt design on there last week, Darth Gump. And you're going to have to go there and see what the design is. And you're going to want a t-shirt immediately when you see it. You can get t-shirts, hats, stickers, magnets, bags, mugs, whatever your nerdy heart, little heart desires. Follow us on social media at NerdCaveRetro, at JakeFunktastic, and at Derek_Diamond. And of course, leave us a review and or a 5-star rating on all podcasting platforms. Derek, please tell them what it's all about.
May the way of the hero lead to the Triforce.
Yes.
Forgiveness is divine, but never pay full price for late pizza.
This podcast is a Zoo House LLC production.